Guess what? There is a Dad Podcast fan page created by our very own Butcher Drew. So go to Facebook.com/Dad Podcast. There's a link right there in the timeline. And do what the cool kids are doing. Also, we're smoking pot by the auto shop, BT Dubs.
Listen to me, listen to my words as they vanish. Let's go chase the sun.
Welcome to the Dad Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Worsham. With me, as always, is the one, the only, Paco Lancini, a.k.a. Adam Dooley. How are you on this fine morning, good sir?
I haven't yet decided whether or not I'm speaking to you.
Oh, okay. Are we in a fight?
I don't know. I was in my car going to breakfast with the lovely, fair and lovely Luna yesterday, and my phone blipped at me, and it said something about MixLR, and I hit the button. And I heard the theme song to my very own show playing, and I thought, what the fuck is going on? And I had there was a pit in my stomach. I just felt sick to my stomach there, and it shortly became clear. But I have to say I didn't care for that sound.
No, it did not.
Coming out of my phone.
It did not sound. Well, here's the thing. If anything, if there is any cheating or foul play going on,
yes,
it was entirely masturbatory.
Well, that's just it. When you and Booker do the show, I feel like I'm seeing my ex-girlfriend with somebody else.
Yeah.
But yesterday it was like watching my ex-girlfriend, rub one out.
Are you hearing noises too?
Just my own voice. But no, I do.
Hold on.
I do
There's
hear
something
some
happening.
I hear music going on in the background.
All right. Sorry about this, people listening. I think I just figured out what happened. Randomly, my app that I used to listen to the Mark in the Morning just started playing songs. Sorry. I was afraid I was having a stroke, to be honest.
That's okay.
I reacted, but you just were still there. So I'm like, I'm hearing something. So anyway, Booker is like seeing your ex-girlfriend with somebody.
Somebody else. And yesterday was like seeing your
ex-girlfriend. Is Booker your ex-girlfriend or I'm your ex-girlfriend?
You're my girlfriend. It wouldn't even be my ex-girlfriend. I'd be seeing you stepping out.
Your girlfriend having a lesbian affair with another woman.
You're making it sound way more sexy than it feels like.
I'm very sexy. I can't help that.
Well, I didn't feel
it's
sexy
what I
yesterday.
Bring to the table. I can't
True
turn
enough.
This off. I wish True I enough. Could. It's a burden that I carry. It doesn't, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Try put yourself in my shoes. You know what I mean? Try walking around and expect it to be treated like something other than a piece of meat for one day in your life. You know what I mean? Try to walk around and not just be sexualized constantly again and again and again to try to find a way of creating value in yourself beyond your body.
I understand your struggle now.
So now do you feel a little bit better just because I talk to myself for 36 minutes?
Yeah, I do.
It's hard for me too, Adam.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Eddie. I wish I hadn't laughed in the beginning.
All right, so 4th of July happened.
Oh, yeah.
We did our usual fireworks fair. I talked about it a little bit yesterday.
Yeah, I didn't get to hear the whole thing because I was vomiting.
But I think it was a lot of good times. Good times were had.
Excellent. Fireworks were lit. Oh, my God, yes. That was fantastic.
We went, we built a little show. What was cute was...
All the more fun because my own children didn't participate.
That's, they were there to bring a dark cloud to the fair.
To bring us all down. Yo, you did a great job, as usual.
Thank you, man. That's very kind. It was fun. It's funny because Natalie had promised the children that they could play games in the afternoon. And it's very rough for me. I have two complaints about my life. Number one is, so she says, I'm going to, promise you that you kids can play. And then I just had to sit around and I realized that there is nothing more fitting of the fatherly lifestyle than having nothing to do and looking for something to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of felt proud and ashamed that I was unknowingly drawn to my garage.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Like you drifted over there.
Yeah. Without even being aware of it, I just kind of meandered and I was standing in front of my workbench in my garage. And then I started taking apart. My fire pit is not working.
Oh.
And I bought a new thermocoupler for it. And for anybody who doesn't know what that is, not that it's interesting, but it will be said anyway.
Yes.
There's a part of like an element and then it gets hot. Mm-hmm. And then that creates a little electric charge. There's HVAC Mike might even know more about this if he does anything. No, that's not. HVAC isn't water heaters. Anyway, maybe he knows anyway. But anyway, it's a little electric charge, and then it takes this little thing, and it compresses, and it allows the gas to flow. So when you turn on, and the idea being that you can't just have gas flowing in the ether, and then, you know, your right. uncle of 97, who's been smoking since he was 12, walks yeah. by, and boom, that's what takes him out. He doesn't gotcha. Get to die
of
cardiac arrest. Yeah, exactly. And then instead, he brings the whole family down with him because of his habit. But anyway. So I took it apart, and I found a way to jerry-rig it where I don't need the thermocoupler because I bought they sent me another thermocoupler.
Right.
I put that in. That didn't fix it.
Yeah.
So now I have to call them and ask for a valve. It's a whole big thing. So I was working on that, and then I got bored with that.
I just want to make sure I understand as your neighbor that what you said is you've bypassed the thermocoupler.
I've bypassed the safety. Yeah.
The safety device.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's right. What it is to live next to me.
Okay.
Buckle up. So then the other thing. So then I just sat there, and what is a man to do on 4th of July at dusk when he's got $200 worth of explosives, but to set them up in a display of some
yes,
fashion.
Yes.
So me being this, I have a part-time job.
Yeah.
And
that wasn't your second complaint.
No, no, okay. It's not. We haven't even gotten there yet.
Okay.
So we, now in this part-time job, I've become, I'm aware of organizing information to a certain extent,
yes.
which is not a skill set of mine, but now right. I try to practice
Listen,
it.
In anyone listening to this show, they're painfully aware that you do not possess that skill set.
And, so I start organizing the fireworks because I realized that children will be choosing. And I thought, even though I knew your guys are teenagers, but I yes. thought that, you know, what if they just go, oh, I don't. Like, here's what I thought. Toddlers will grab big first.
Yeah.
Teenagers will be indifferent and just like fucking pin the tail on the donkey, just arbitrarily yeah, here, just right. like this. I don't know. I don't even want to be here. Why right. am I not looking exactly. at my phone? So I go left to right. So I just say left to right. And then I had a ledge of small fireworks. These yes. are like the hors d'oeuvres, the appetites
kind of like the
Chinese explosives.
The selection of prizes at a game yes. at a fair.
Yeah.
Is you don't get the big ones no. until later.
The only downfall that I did, I did not think of, you know, 10,000 ticket items that you would find at a Chuck E. Cheese's.
Yeah.
They go up high.
Right.
You know what I mean? To even further diminish your status as a child when you look at it. Even this gigantic pink elephant is better than you. Right.
Well, and following that same logic, you should have had one that was never going to be lit. It's just unobtainable.
Put it on the roof.
Yeah.
And just set it there. Never going to happen. Just look at it. Look at it in all its glories, boys.
Right.
But because we're not good enough, you could never behave well enough to achieve that level of firework. That is the PS4 of fireworks, and you yeah. will never achieve that, boys. Cut to the birth of their first child. I'm, you know, even more gray, probably more of my hair gone.
Yes.
And I come in and
it
go,
like
it's so
Ben
beautiful.
Franklin.
And then we step outside and you know, to have a cigar. And I go, you know, I got something we can light with a cigar. And I pull out the firework from yes. the roof and I set it down in the hospital parking lot.
Right.
And I give Jacob,
yes.
the cigar to light it.
Yes.
And just as he lights the firework is when Jack pulls up to meet his new nephew. And then now he is destroyed from this father-son moment now. You know what I mean? And so,
but the fire pit he has in the trunk of his car is suddenly lit by the...
Yes.
And the whole fucking
family. He immediately leaves the hospital, goes to my house, and then sabotages my fire pit so that the next time his mother and I are enjoying a nice old-fashioned
yeah.
and, I don't know, Dr. Pepper, whatever she drinks because she's 12 in her mouth. But then she can, then we can we can do that, and I reach my demise
yes.
based off of projectile lava rocks is what will happen.
Yes,
and shards of, now I have shards of glass. I got rid of the lava rock.
That's awesome.
I have fancy decorative glass. Who cares? The so I did the decorative thing, and then I'm sitting here looking at them, and this is what is great
Yes.
And I look forward to my children experiencing the exact same thing, is that when you grow up, now I think it is more likely that, and maybe that we've always been this way as men.
Yes.
And all throughout history, but there is a certain juvenile to being a man.
Yes.
A certain level of immaturity, and that sometimes there's a change in it when you become a father, but then there are definite moments where it bleeds out, and good times will be had. And this is one of those moments where that Jiminy Cricket voice of my father and me that says, when you pay the bills, you could do whatever you want.
Yeah.
And I said, I bought all these fucking fireworks. I want to set some off.
Right.
So I just started lighting shit, and Natalie came outside. She goes, what are you doing?
Oh, my God. I thought you meant you would resolve to do it that night. You meant you just right there.
Right there. Why wait?
Yeah.
They give you 5 boxes of those fucking flashing things.
Yeah,
what do they do? What are the kids aren't going to care about that stuff.
Sure.
So I thought what would be still enjoyable in the broad of daylight.
Right. No, I understand. And it's like when you go to the movies and it's before the trailers even start, there's all that other bullshit.
Yes.
That's what you were
doing. That's what I was doing. Yeah. I was doing these are snippets of what is yet to come.
Can we get your attention for a minute? Yeah.
All of these fireworks have been chosen and matched with the following fireworks show.
Yeah, right. It's like an overture in a
musical. They've all been approved.
Yeah.
So anyway, so I start lighting. She comes out. What are you doing? I said, I'm lighting fireworks. What do you mean? She goes, well, the kids are inside and it's daylight.
Right, I'm doing it for me, bitch.
And yeah. I said, yeah, I have a penis and I bought them and I have fire. Fire good. I make fire go boom, boom. She goes, you're an idiot.
I bet she did.
And I said, don't worry, I'm saving all the nice ones for them. And then I did keep the smoke bombs. Then the kids come out and do the smoke bombs.
Yeah.
We had a great moment. It was so, it's so funny. It's such a great, what's the word when they atrium? Is that what I'm thinking of?
I don't know. I have to hear the rest of this.
I always sentence. Do that too. You know what I?
You, before you give me a context, what's you the word? Say something.
It's atrium, the bottom part of a skateboard, right?
Yes, I often have no, like the last time you did that, I went, yes, those are words.
Yes.
But I didn't know what you were.
Yeah, I'm an idiot. So.
What is this, amateur hour?
Yes, it is. And. So I go in there. It's a microcosm or an atrium of parenting. It's a little tiny little bubble of this is what the life is on a bigger scale. Is that? Oh crap! I lost my thought. What the hell? Oh, we're doing the smoke bombs, and they're having the time of their lives with what is easily the dumbest firework that has ever existed. By the way, a small slight tangent. The second dumbest firework that has ever existed. Remember the snakes?
Yes.
You got to see this, is that now they've made the snakes actually enjoyable for said juvenile man.
Yes.
Is that they call them Sir Dumps-a-Lot, and it's a little Scottish terrier in a superhero outfit, and the snake is now turned on its side, and it comes out in the form of poop, and as Adam learned as he was filming the dog pooping, it at the end has a blowout of a shart.
A fiery shart.
Paco almost lost the thumb. And so anyway... So they're doing the smoke bombs are going off. And so the kids are running through it, and because they like to play Call of Duty and there's smoke grenades in Call of Duty, like they're running around, and it was great. And then it's so funny how their minds work, is that they see smoke as little kids and instantly they become like, they get it, even though they've never really watched professional wrestling, but they understand that if you have smoke around you, you are no longer a nerd or a weirdo. You are a badass motherfucker who is ready to kick some ass. And Jacob, who is the sweetest kid you'll ever see in your life, just takes on this pose where he sticks out his chest and he bows out his arms like he's got guns, and he's like, dun, 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 dun. Walking around in the smoke, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Which was all great. It was like, oh, look how fun this is, and Natalie's taking pictures, and it's adorable, until Jacob gets a little too close to the thicker part of the smoke and takes an inhale in, and and he's just hacking, and then he starts panicking. Because he's Jacob,
Is he still going, dun, 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 dun?
No,
that's over?
It is essentially Arnold as the Terminator going, cut, cut, oh, cut, cut. Like, he just, you know what I mean? Makeup and everything, sunglasses coming off, and just couldn't look more less cool in his life.
Right,
he's, like, sitting there, and he, much like I was when I was a kid, he gets freaked out.
Yeah.
And he starts, his mind takes him down a rabbit hole of consequences and all this, like, this is, the worst is going to happen and it's going to happen now.
Yes.
So I think that that is a great skill set to have as an older person when you have the part of your brain with wisdom and experience to control it. You know what I mean? But
yes,
it is not so good for you to deal with when you're six. Right. So as I can tell you from firsthand experience. And so I'm trying to calm him down and use the things that I remember learning as a kid. Like I was talking about it with my dad. I have the same kind of fears. He's like, oh my gosh, yes, you did. He goes, and he brought up roller coasters. Oh. And what was interesting is that I had a severe fear of roller coasters my entire childhood until I was 12 years old. And I don't know what it was. I'm assuming it was a vagina. I'm assuming that some kind of vagina or nubile breasts were involved in my motivation to get on what is known as the Grizzly at Paramount's Great America in Northern California.
Yeah.
And it was a wooden roller coaster. And I remember having to tell myself that in order to be okay, I would have to sit there next to my father and just go, hundreds of people do this in a day and nobody gets hurt. Hundreds of people. I just had to keep saying that to myself until I finally overcame my fear and I was fine. So I'm telling him, he's freaking out. I'm like, look at me in my eyes. Look at me in my eyes and take slow breaths. And then he was fine. He could look. It was so weird. He looks at me in my eyes and he's breathing slow. The minute he breaks eye contact, starts coughing.
Oh, wow.
And so I said, son, I go, you need to look at me in my eyes because when you look in my eyes, you stay calm and you breathe. I said, he goes, I can't breathe. I can't breathe.
So this is just the way you prep me for every show.
Yes, exactly.
It's the same thing. Okay.
I use this in a lot of life. You know what I mean?
Across the board.
I've tried to use it in getting out of a ticket, but it does not work. Officer, look at me in my eyes. Look at me.
Calm down. When you
look away from my eyes, you are looking at my marijuana in the backseat car seat. That I have a card for that. Look at me in my eyes, officer. No, so anyway, so I'm trying to get him calmed down, and I said, this thing that you have that you can't breathe, that's in your head. You're panicking.
Right.
I said, you got to learn to control that, and you got to take deep breaths and stay calm. And he goes, no, it's real. It's real. Yeah, I said, I'm not saying the smoke isn't real. I'm saying your fear of it is not real. You have to and he goes, no, it's on my heart. I could feel the smoke grabbing my heart is what he said.
Oh, my God.
Poor kid. I was like, no. I go, if that's the case, then why is it when you look at me and you call? So then, of course, he comes down. And I talked about it a little bit yesterday because you saw the other freak out that he had on 4th of July when the 5-0 showed up.
Yeah, and he lost it. I thought you were going to build to that. But, yeah, this wasn't the only time this play that you guys were doing.
He had multiple panic attacks for 4th of July.
And that was, I think, bigger.
Oh, yeah. No, that was huge. Oh, I talked about it yesterday, but maybe you could say what your perspective was of it, but
hilarious.
He said to me, he honestly thought I was going to jail. Like, that's what he thought. He was like,
it's, thought or hoped?
No, I think thought.
And then he felt very bad about
it. If he would have been dancing, then it would have been hoped. You know what I mean? And it's really is funny to me because you would think, as much of an asshole as I am to these kids, the idea of dad going to the Hooskow would be a sweet relief because mom lets him get away with a lot more shit.
Well, no, they know very well that how it just unendingly pleasurable their life would be. And
that's overwhelming.
Yeah.
It breaks the emotion. Yeah. Like, if what if I peak at six? What if my life is so great at six?
I'd never get better.
That's what his dauntingness is feeling. But it was great. We did the fun. The fireworks were lit off. All of that was good times.
Yes. It was terrific. Now, I have to say that I find just like the way pieces of life fit together can sometimes be interesting and just like you wouldn't have guessed or you wouldn't have thought. Because I was coming over here to go, dude, the day I've had. My apologies, I'm out.
Uh-huh.
And I walked in the backyard and I saw those things on display and I said, there's no way I can turn my back on them. So had you not done that.
Had I not set the display up.
Had you not set the display up, I wouldn't have been there.
So you have to thank my wife because she's the one who kicked me off my television.
There you go.
I could not enjoy the freedom of Batman Arkham. This will be the only game I've ever done 100% on. At 98% on this. I got to catch all those fucking Riddler trophies.
Really?
Nobody cares. Anyway, but it's another funny thing is that I set off one of like the smaller ones even before, and then she goes, oh, the smell of, and that's another thing that I think is different between men and women.
She was Jewish.
Yeah. Oh, the smell of this. My lungs.
It's circling my heart.
So I lit it off, and she goes, oh, the smell. And I said, I go, yeah. Smells like freedom.
I love the smell
Isn't
of
it great?
Sulfur, basically.
And I, in preparing for other radio shows, that I learned that the actual fireworks... This, I got a story that I hope we have time to get into, because it really pissed me off that what people fucking put on print. And is that we're talking about how fireworks is air pollution and how it's really bad for you.
Okay.
And, like, listen, I'm sure it's bad for you. Yes. The idea of inhaling chemically enhanced smoke to give it a neon fluorescent color is not the ideal situation.
Yes.
But let's not – we don't need doom and gloom, all right? We've worked very hard. It's really weird to me that we live in a world where, you know what I mean? Like, we've kind of got things under control as far as life or death. You know what I mean? Yes, horrible things still happen. I'm not saying that. But things are pretty nice, and yet and now everything's out to get us. We don't know what to do with that rodent part of our animal brain.
Absolutely.
And fireworks have to come and get us. Coffee has to come and get us.
That part of your brain doesn't go away. But I'm wondering, was that article, was that written by Jacob?
It will be in the future. He will be like that.
Dear Internet.
Open letter to the Internet. Thank you for all the fears. And WebMD, go fuck yourself.
Oh, my God, no.
Yeah.
Anytime Doreen goes, I'm going to go look it up. I'm like, no.
No, please don't.
Don't look it up.
The other thing I want to talk about.
Yeah.
This is only for people who have toddlers now.
Everyone else turn off your radio.
Everyone else move on or prepare to tune out or...
unsubscribe.
Plan to laugh at us at how you are no longer in that, or I don't know why I'm telling you what to think, but I'm going to keep going with this bit. Or think of how, oh, you think that's bad. Wait till this happens for you. Or feel free to now do the mental checklist in your mind of what you need at the grocery list. Or if you're on the treadmill, try to avoid thinking about how you wish you weren't running on the treadmill right now, or asking yourself, when am I supposed to feel that high? When am I supposed to, when does that little good feeling come, like when I bite into a Hershey almond bar? When does that happen on this fucking treadmill? And why is it that my shoulder randomly starts hurting? There's no pressure on my shoulder. It's not like a shoulder adjacent. It's right in the shoulder joint. Why does that part, even if I do like more of a shimmy with my shoulders where it's all I'm twisting at the hips, still that one part of the shoulder says stop fucking running. Why does my shoulder not want me to be healthy?
Now here's the difference between 36 and 50.
Okay,
is you have to be on a treadmill doing that. I could be sitting on a couch watching TV going, why is my shoulder hurting right now?
Stop breathing so heavily. Your shoulder is
right. Stop sitting up so upright.
Yes.
Yes.
You know what'd be easier for your heart and the rest of us if you were just if you were at a 40% grade. The blood
go.
Just let gravity kind of slide it down like a water slide.
Like gravy.
Yeah. So anyway, back to what I wanted to say is that the time I would like, you know how they always do those things at the end of your life, you spend, you know, 48 years sleeping or whatever, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I would like to hear the number, but I'm also afraid of it. The number of minutes that I spend waiting for a child to get in and out of a vehicle.
Yes.
I would like to have that number tabulated so that I can either scoff at how I believe I am way above average.
Yes, yes.
Or cry at how, looking at how much, because I don't know why, but I feel like this is a universal thing when you have a, like, it's like they subconsciously, they're not aware of their mortality at all.
Right.
Which also makes them subconsciously aware that they have a lot more time on this planet than you do.
Exactly.
And then, so the clashing of those perspectives is always leads to the response of, do you know, I have stuff to do.
Right.
It's not hard. And I would like once, as a Father's Day gift or a birthday gift, to see those kids especially the little one.
Yes.
You know, you talk about age difference. This kid, for fun, will just sit on his fucking head. Can you imagine doing that at our age? Just decide, I'm going to sit on my fucking head. I'm just going to lay upside down in a couch.
Yeah.
Because... right side up television is no longer stimulating enough in high definition flat panel.
Who can blame him there?
Shark Week cannot be enjoyed right side up. I need to have the ambiguity of loss of gravity or living in an aquatic environment.
Uh-huh.
I need to participate in this. Fuck 3D. I'm not 4D is the fourth dimension is spitting. We've learned that from theme parks. The fifth dimension evidently is inversion. That's what I've decided.
Okay.
So he can't just jump in and like leading with his ass and just land it right in that seat.
Yeah.
And just buckle me in. You know what I mean? Like, let's do this.
Right.
Because I've tried it. The sooner we get back from the grocery store, the sooner you can play some Disney fucking Infinity. Do you understand that?
Right.
And here's the other thing. The less that you frustrate me while I'm waiting for you to get in and out of the car, the less likely you are to have a goose egg from just that one day. I'm too tired. I'm going to fucking clock you with my keys.
Yeah. No, I understand. I thought you meant goose egg. I thought you meant you're going to get zero.
Oh,
but you
no.
literally meant
I meant knock
clobber.
Them on the head.
Yeah, okay.
They're going through a phase right now, these two toddlers. And I don't know if it's an age thing or if it's what school does to you. School does two things, I've learned as a parent.
Yeah.
Number one, it ruins summer. You spend your entire childhood looking forward to summer, everything, summer vacation, school's out for summer, you know what I mean?
Right.
Summer, summer, summertime. And then you have kids that get into public school, and then you're like, fuck summer and the horse it rode in on. You know what I love? Fall and spring, bitches. They're
absolutely
the best times of the year.
Monday's the best day of the week, people. It didn't happen by accident.
Oh, so funny. So anyway.
Before you move on from there, I have that same feeling about that. Like, just like time, like running out of a faucet. Just all that time is lost while I'm standing waiting for a fucking dog or cat to come back inside so I can go to fucking bed. So I can shut the goddamn door and go to bed.
It's like you're living both lifestyles. It's like you're living the lifestyle of a parent and of the person who does not have kids and replaces them with animals.
Right. Well, that's the danger is that she went past her breeding years, so then we had to double down on all the animals, which
so she
are
needed a litter.
Substitutes for little babies.
They will all feel my maternal love.
Yes, and none of them will ever grow out of it.
That's great.
Yeah.
Oh, so yeah, so that was my frustration, is constantly saying, get in, get out of the car, let's move on. Oh, the other thing that school has ruined for me is the grocery store. Because now, when they started going to school, I could go to the grocery store by myself. And it's so weird what you take for granted before you have children. I could go to the grocery store, bang out a trip, and not even think of it as anything. But then you have children, and suddenly the grocery store becomes like a Club Med for a stay-at-home parent. If you can go to a grocery store without children, you get to combine that sweet experience of accomplishing something, you know what I mean, of checking something off of your day.
Right.
And also, like, the kind of level of zen relaxation that one gets at a dog park.
Right.
You ever been to a dog park and you just watch the dogs running and playing?
Right.
You can't help but just feel good.
Yeah.
You have that moment, that probably 5 to 10 minutes where you feel really good until somebody brings their, you know, asshole oversized dog that they treat like a shih tzu, and then they fuck around with all the other dogs.
Because
it's just like preschool. Like, there's the one kid who has no fucking social skills whatsoever.
Goes running all around. You see, I think people, when they're looking to buy a house, if they have a family already or whatever it is, or even if they're just not yet, they don't yet have a family, they're looking at the schools. They're looking at it all wrong.
Mm-hmm.
They should be looking at what are the closest supermarkets and how can I get as close as possible to them? Because with the number of times I drive to fucking Target every day, if it was walking distance, if it was directly next door, I'd be okay with that. I have lost so much of my life driving back and forth.
Oh, my gosh. Can you imagine if there was a Fitbit that could log how many miles and minutes you logged going back and forth to the grocery store
just
at Target?
Just that one thing, yeah.
Just that one little, like...
Yeah, that's right.
Like, if we were to do a YouTube parody of this moment here, it would be you checking your Fitbit and going, we have no longer... there's no memory space for steps and miles logged and calories burned.
Or just,
it's all taken up with minutes in Target.
With one of those things that people do, like they come out and they say, this is the number of hours you spent in your life sleeping, or this is how long you blinked.
Yeah.
I need one that says, this is how many hours.
Yours will be like if it said shopping or whatever, and they had an overall, you know, United States number, there would be an asterisk next to that. And it would say, Adam Dooley of Burbank, California, heavily messed up the curve on this one.
Right.
He was the Chinese violin student of your math class in this situation, and he totally screwed the pooch for everybody. Well, speaking of shopping, we have do you do the self checkout? Do you like that? Are you a fan of it?
That is what I do.
I'd love it. Mm-hmm. I first hated it, But then I slowly grew to love it. Now, I used to only do it for like an express checkout. Now, I don't care. As long as daddy's in California, you can't do express checkout without buying booze. To me, well, then what the fuck is that one person there doing?
Really? I didn't know you.
Yeah, you can't buy booze in California at express checkouts.
Oh, I'm sorry. The way I heard it come out of your mouth was the opposite, that you had to buy booze if you wanted to get
it. I could have said it that way.
Yeah. Well, you are drunk.
I'm very drunk all the time. I can never use that express checkout. It is my Club Med within Club Med. But anyway, there's a woman.
Oddly enough, you can go to the one that you're doing it all yourself and you can still buy booze there.
Yeah. Because
they come over with the thing and.
No, they don't.
They don't?
No. That's what I'm saying. There's the one person who's there watching the four or five things, but they can't do that, evidently. They can't card you.
Oh.
Even though, here's what I love about it. Even though the thing is.
Okay, hang on. You're saying express checkout versus self-checkout.
Yes, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
What's the difference?
Well, self-checkout is you're doing it yourself. Express would be like 15 items or less.
Oh, my bad.
That's okay.
My bad. So self-checkout. Okay.
Self-checkout.
Let's go back. Do you enjoy the self-checkout?
I absolutely never miss an opportunity to use the self-checkout. And I thought you could.
Do you know you can't get booze at self-checkout?
I thought that sometimes you could, but
strictly
they must
express
changed.
Checkout is all you could do. You need somebody manning those ones and twos if you want to buy a bottle of $2 Chuck, evidently.
Okay, all right.
So anyway, I go there all the time. I like it. It's fun. It gives Jacob a way to help me is that he likes to scan the things and I put them in the bag.
Yeah.
And it's always funny. I'm really stupid about this parenting thing because I talked about it yesterday about them helping to clean the house and I really liked it. I thought it was a great idea. Another thing I really enjoy, I felt like I was imparting. You know how you have a catch with your son and you go fishing and that's supposed to make you feel like a good father?
Right.
It made me feel like a good father because I told my son the proper conventions of bagging groceries.
Right.
Because
oh,
I'm
there
like,
you go.
Heavy shit first. All right?
Yeah, right.
Bread, chips, all go last. Eggs, just be very careful. Those are, you know, weapons grade plutonium or uranium, whatever the thing is.
Well, at Target, I'm such a fucking asshole. At Target, I take this stuff out of my cart in the order I want them to pack it because I have learned that if you don't do that, they will put everything they can find. If you have a concrete brick, they will put it on top of the eggs.
And I always feel
they'll put it under the loaf of bread.
I always feel bad because you get the new kid. You know who I like? I like the bagger who's in his like 60s.
Yeah.
Because he's been to a fucking war.
Right.
And you know what I mean? And so he appreciates life and he's there for the love of the game.
Yeah, well, you catch him at the right time. He goes a little too far. He gets a little overripe.
I haven't met the overripe guy. I still like because he's got some fucking gumption. That's my opinion.
Okay, yeah.
It's that 22-year-old kid who doesn't give a fuck about your bread.
Oh, no.
You know what I mean? That's the one that I'm like, sometimes you just want to go, hey, I packed this for a reason this way.
Yeah.
I'm making this for you. This is for you, fuck knuckle.
And if they, I love fuck knuckle. And if they, if they look particularly inept, I won't just give them my collection of bags and let them choose the bags. I will feed them the bag and then the things that go in the bag, and then I'll feed them the next bag so that it has to go in the bag
I want it to. Like a strip club owner doling out tips at the end of the night.
Exactly,
or something.
Yeah. You are clearly not with it enough to make those
environmentally
decisions for me.
It's a good time. So anyway, go back to the self-checkout I've now learned it's called.
Yes, yes.
There was a woman in Madison, Wisconsin. We've all been there where it's like...
I have.
It's Madison, Wisconsin. Because that's why I don't understand the booze thing. You could set something in there, and if it's off weight, there's like, an attendant has been notified to assist you.
I know.
And why is it... Listen, moms, turn off your podcast for a minute, but here's the thing. Why is it that every automated voice has to be a woman?
I don't know.
Who decided... I can't imagine... If women are so catty for each other, how can they appreciate being told what to do by another woman? If men spend most of their lives being told what to do, but maybe that's what it is. They're like, this is what we're used to, and it's just white noise to us.
It's safer.
To be honest, I didn't notice it until I was talking about it now.
Okay.
But anyway.
I actually changed the voice on my iPhone to be
Suri
the man.
Is a dude, which is great when I ask him where strip clubs are.
Dude, he says.
Dude, bro.
Yeah, I call him Suri instead of Siri.
Yeah. I love it. So this lady goes to self-checkout, and it's not working. So she faces a disorder. She's around 7:45 p.m. This happened about 2 weeks ago, June 27th, a week ago. I don't know. For reports for disturbance that started inside Woodman's. I guess it's like a grocery store, department store. Cheryl A. Elkington, 56. This is not a young lady. This is a lady who's been around the world who I think she is just on the cusp of going, this bullshit about robots taking over is not okay. She's at a self-checkout. And what she did was she became so frustrated at the self-checkout, police said, that when an employee went to help her, she became belligerent and started yelling. Elkin continued to scream and swung a VCR
wow.
at a manager. When the VCR hit the manager, he told her she had to leave the store. Or Elkington, sorry. Elkington got on a bus before police arrived. But they were able to stop it near Fort Avenue and eventually cite her with disorderly contact, officials said. Police said it's unclear why Elkington had a VCR with her at a grocery store.
She brought it with her.
It wasn't even her trying to buy a VCR.
She had it. She takes it with her like a can of mace.
This is an artichoke of a story. I don't like onion. I don't like onion because all onions layer to layer are the same. Artichokes change and become sometimes different food items.
Right, and are much more delicious.
Yes, and healthy. Good for you. So she is a woman who is traveling with a VCR, full-size VCR,
on a bus.
I
don't know.
Okay? Well,
all right, no, it's not a DVR. It's a VCR. Oh, my God.
So she's using an antiquated video monitoring system.
What else are you going to use it for now?
Right?
Yeah.
Exactly. Self-defense.
Might as well be.
So what if she's a hoarder and her husband's like, hey, we got to get rid of that. I need you to, Cheryl, get rid of that VCR. We have a DivX player now. I don't need that shit in here anymore. Well, damn it, Larry, I'm going to use it. I could use it like a mace, medieval times. What if I get cross-eyed at a grocery store manager? Right. He gets a little sassafrassy with me. I don't know why they're southern out of Wisconsin. I don't know how to do it. Right. Midwestern sounds just too pleasant. Well, Larry, what am I going to do?
Well, they're not Canadians, but yes, no, I understand.
It's close enough. Shut your face. Really? You're going to judge my voice as Michael Caine? Larry, what are we going to do if a grocery store manager gets a little cross-eyed at me? What am I going to hit him with, Larry? Well, damn it, Cheryl, that's a good idea.
There you go.
See, southern people fight better. But also the fact that she gets on a bus, which is pulled over by police. Can you imagine being that person? Because here's the thing. I'm not talking about New York, Chicago, San Francisco, like a metropolis. I'm talking about Madison, Wisconsin. Not that it's not.
I'm not calling it
a hick town.
It's a fair-sized city.
Right.
It's a modern city.
But what I'm saying is that if you were riding in a public bus in Madison, Wisconsin, and the reds and blues, you know what I mean? The blueberries and cherries or whatever they call them, go off behind you, chances are there are more people than Cheryl A. Elkington. Also, I like that she uses the formal middle initial in her name.
I didn't realize you had a picture of her. That's,
isn't she
very
great?
Special.
She's like a Roseanne Barr with longer hair. So anyway, Cheryl A. Elkington.
And not quite as cheerful.
The third.
Oh.
And she's not the only one breaking into a flop sweat on that said city bus.
Yeah, exactly.
When the 5-0 shows up, I imagine. Right.
And does the bus driver like, yeah, I know the routine, you know, how many buses get pulled over? Listen, there's so much like the artichoke, but I think I've.
We're going into lockdown, everybody. Just stay in your seats. I'm telling you all, whoever it is that they're here for, I've seen them try to run before. It's not good. It does not end well. They will tase you, bro.
I'm taken by how poorly written it is. The article, among all the other things.
Well, I paraphrase it, so that's on me.
Is that on you?
Yeah.
What was the... Oh, did you already throw it away?
No, I threw it on the ground.
What was she pulled... What did the police sort of charge her with? Because it...
I'll read the whole article. Madison woman faces a disorderly conduct charge after swinging a VCR at and hitting a Woodman's manager over frustrations involving the self-checkout lanes, Madison police said. Does that answer
your question? Okay, not exactly.
Disorderly conduct.
Okay, I thought you said disorderly contact, and I thought, I've never heard of such a thing. First of all, and second of all...
To be fair, she did do that, too. Maybe that's a secondary charge.
Yeah. The way it goes is, you say... it doesn't matter, because you were paraphrasing, so I don't know what it already was. Maybe it was you. To me, that she travels with her own VCR is the headline. That's not buried in the fourth paragraph.
Right.
That's the best part.
But it is buried. It does it. It says.
No, I'm saying that burying it in the fourth paragraph.
At the very end, the last line of story, police said it's unclear why Elkington had a VCR with her at a grocery store.
I guess that's a good way to finish.
You know why I like that line is because also there was a reporter who's asked the cop who's like, who's already the, you know, the PR person for the police force.
Yeah.
This is a kid who wanted to, you know, wrestle down criminals in an alley somewhere and do lots of like, you know, butt slides across the hood of a vehicle or you do that thing where there's crossing traffic and everybody stops for the criminal and you get to do the butt slide on the hood and tackle the guy.
Yeah, right.
Meanwhile, now he's answering questions like, do you know why she had a VCR at a grocery store? And he's
I don't know,
man. That's police for it's unclear.
Right.
Also, in good news for us and everyone else,
yeah,
is Amazon is trying to turn its birthday into the new Black Friday, and I think it'll pull it off. Amazon turns 20 next week, and they're handling it in a mature, understated way. Just kidding. They want to turn it into a shopping frenzy that's bigger than Black Friday. Their birthday is a week from Thursday, and they're going to be running crazy deals for 24 hours to celebrate. Their press release says it will, quote, be filled with more deals than Black Friday.
Wow.
So don't forget to click through that link when everybody goes bananas.
Absolutely.
But kicking off your... your Christmas shopping in July.
Yeah, exactly. That'll be interesting.
Yeah, I'm excited for that. Now, here's where I think, do we have time? Yes, we have time for this. Now, this is something that I found that at first I was like, oh, this will be a fun story. This will be interesting. I'll have to make it quick, though, because I don't want to end with this. This is quasi-heavy, and it's going to piss me off.
Okay.
Screen addiction is taking a toll on children. Now, we were joking about this earlier, where they talk about how, kids are connected to their phones and all that stuff. The documentary Web Junkie, which is going to be on PBS on Monday, highlights the tragic, and this is the coming Monday, this isn't an old story, tragic effects on teenagers who become hooked on video games, playing for dozens of hours at a time, often without breaks to eat, sleep, or even use the bathroom. Many come to view the real world as fake. Now, before I get into this, because maybe there are some people listening to this who agree with that very statement right there, which I believe is fucking horseshit. Now, I might be biased because while I'm doing a podcast, my two kids are in there playing Disney Infinity.
Right.
But I'll be completely transparent. I do not believe this study because they cite all these things in here, and I already have one thing that will discount everything. So before anybody who is a little bit wired like me as a parent who starts listening to this and goes, oh, fuck, because that's what I started reading. I go, fuck, I'm fucking up my kids. Yeah. Oh, fuck, man.
This is what makes you think you're fucking up your kids?
Yes, okay. This is everything else I'm nailing. Everything else is perfect. Those are, well, internet addiction is not yet considered a clinical diagnosis. Let's look at that phrase. Not yet. So it's going to be. It's just an inevitable. We're waiting for FDA approval on internet addiction.
Right.
There's no question that American youths are plugged in and tuned out of live action for many more hours of the day than experts consider healthy for normal development. Now, let's also look at that. These fucking experts are the same fucking age as the same fucking asshole who thought that Elvis Presley was going to demonize the entire culture of America.
Right.
Fuck. And it starts early, often with proverbial toddlers handed their parents cell phones and tablets to entertain themselves when they should be observing the world around them and interacting with their caregivers. How about this, Dr. Fuckwad? How about you come with me to Outback so my wife and I can enjoy one fucking hot meal a month and then help my kid interact with the fucking world around them?
Why do you think in the old pictures everyone looks so sad? Because there's not enough to distract their children.
They couldn't watch A Bug's Life on a 5-inch screen, so why fucking smile?
Exactly.
They had to bite on a stick to lose a limb if they were lucky.
Well, no, I was saying that their kids are not distracted enough.
Yeah.
Their kids are plugged into their lives and consequently ruining their day.
Oh, this fucking gets me heated. In its 2013 policy statement on children, adolescents, and the media, the American Academy of Pediatrics cited these shocking statistics from a Kaiser Family Foundation study in 2010. Kaiser, that's German. They're fucking Nazis.
I understand. And the organization is made up.
Sorry to my German listeners. I apologize. That was really a bad taste joke. I'm just the average 8 to 10-year-old.
Look, if you're going to be a German organization, using the word Kaiser is kind of loaded.
Yeah,
you should really pick another one. Yeah.
Thank you, Paco.
Yeah.
The average 8 to 10-year-old spends nearly 8 hours a day with a variety of different media, and older children and teenagers spend more than 11 hours per day. Television, long a popular babysitter, remains the dominant medium, but computers, tablets, and cell phones are gradually taking over. All the verbiage in this really pisses me, because here's what it was. I believe this stupid 36-year-old believes that it was rock and roll was going to ruin our kids.
Sure.
Then it became television, rot your brains. Yes. Everybody listening to this grew up on television.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we're all fine people who enjoy sitting in our backyard watching our kids play with the dog and sipping on some bourbon and enjoying the with Suite Lives. So fuck you, New York Times.
And in Music Man, which I understand is a fiction, but it's based on an actual story.
it's a musicometry.
In Music Man, they have a pool hall in the town. And he points it and goes, look what's going to happen to your kids. They're going to be wearing, they're going to be rolling up their knickerbockers.
At least if they're playing pool on PlayStation, you could see them. Two-thirds of those questioned in the Kaiser study said their parents had no rules about how much time the youngster spent with media. Now, they're asking kids this. Now, here's what I'm willing to guess is that I think everybody, I don't have rules. I don't have it. It's not clearly defined to say you are allowed to play for 1 hour.
Yeah.
But I get it. Like, if I got a lot of shit I got to get done and they want to play some video games and everybody's happy and having a good time and getting shit done, fine. Yeah. But if I do look at it and go, you're doing this a little too much. Like, let's, you got a fucking backyard with a pool. Let's get out. And that's all you do is you parent. There's who these people are talking to. They're
smoke they can be inhaling in the backyard.
Right. We could set shit on fire, lose a finger, because that's really what they're talking about. Let's honestly, realistically look at it. Where is a child more in danger? In the backyard where they could accidentally get skewered by a branch on a lemon tree, or sitting on a couch building up a layer of blubber to protect themselves playing pretend football? We're throwing screens at children all day long, giving them distractions rather than teaching them how to self-soothe, to calm themselves down. Now, here's the thing. Again, being completely transparent, I think that's a really solid point, one that I did not think of, is that there is something to having a distraction at all times, and it's part of why I think my kids have become total assholes in the grocery store, maybe, is because there is...
Not because they're your kids.
No. Okay. No, that could not possibly be it.
All right.
Is that what you think it is?
Well, no, I wanted to eliminate that for those people who might be doubting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You think asshole listeners would possibly think that.
But never mind.
Fuck those people.
Yeah, okay.
Stop subscribing to this show right away if you think I'm doing something wrong. Look at yourself. No. Glass houses. I don't even know what your house looks like or what's going on there. Chances are it's a lot better than mine. Before age two, children
certainly
should
it has fewer rats.
That's true. Whatever. Not anymore. Like. Fucking rats are dead. Terminator struck hard. Before age two, children should not be exposed to any electronic media. The Pediatrics Academy maintains because a child's brain develops rapidly during these first years, and young children learn best by interacting with people, not screens. Yeah, you know where that information is coming from? The fact that screens didn't show up until fucking 8 years ago, you dumb motherfucker with a PhD after your name. Get your fucking head out of your ass and look at the world around you. What's going to be more likely? Are we going to be rubbing sticks in the future, or are every kid going to make their fucking living programming the robot that does the job that a regular person does?
Yeah.
It's like, what the fuck are you thinking? Stop acting like an old fucking Puritan Amish person and look around. This is what really pisses me off. It pisses me off about the whole violence in movies, the violence in television, violence in video games, that it's some kind of weird fucked up thing to do to people. Let's be honest. Okay. Back in the day, there were fucking 14-year-olds who were stabbing people with knives just to try to stay alive.
When you say back in the day, though, that means 1995.
Right.
Okay.
That's how we did it in Northern California.
Okay, I'm just making sure, because my back in the day was different than your back in the day and Paul's.
No, I'm talking about 1600s. I'm talking like really back in that day.
Back in the...
You're talking about 2 weeks ago.
Right, okay.
But no, it's this thing where we have this, for whatever reason, here's the thing. Part of the reason why I get so heated is because I have this in me, too. I think on some level, and if you don't, good for you. I'm happy for you. But I hate that this little thing can plant a little worm in my brain. And luckily, the more I read into it, there's a part at the end that really struck a nerve with me, and it shook me out of it. And then I went back and looked at it and go, horseshit, 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 horseshit.
Tell me that.
So the only relevant thing in a two-page article that I found is that it is good for kids to learn to self-soothe and to calm themselves down. I think that is solid. That is a well put point. And if you want to read more from Catherine Steiner Adair, who's a Harvard-affiliated clinical psychologist, her best-selling book is The Big Disconnect, Protecting Childhood and Family Relationships in the Digital Age. Now, see, that, to me, is the real point here, is that these are all people who have families that are not intact. That the issue isn't with the media.
Right.
But see, that we have this weird cultural hang-up, is that we don't really weigh in on people's parenting. And like I said, I talked about it yesterday, is that it seems like people always seem to weigh in or intervene when you're parenting in where you don't want them to, and nobody ever really wants them to.
Right.
But I think we all know that if you're the kind of person who's listening to a parenting podcast, even though it's not an advice show, it's just talking about it. Here come the kids. You need to hear this. What? Okay, tell him you have to play Call of Duty because it's relevant to my article right here. Tell Jacob I said you have to play Call of Duty. All right, or thank you. or I will violently kill him.
He will be back in 3 minutes.
No, he won't. The those who watch, so what was I saying? God damn these kids, fucking up my parenting podcast. No, people who listen to a parenting podcast are not the people who have this problem. There are people who are literally neglecting their children who become these people. I think.
Okay, I have to jump in. Are you? I don't want to take
almost
you off
there. Reserve all questions till the end.
All right.
Those who watch a lot of this is the part that really, this is why. This is the part who really gets me going, and it may or may not support your point.
All right.
Those who watch a lot of simulated violence, common in many popular video games, can become immune to it, more inclined to act violently themselves, and less likely to behave empathetically, said Dimitri A. Christakis, a fucking Greek. How's that going over there? The Seattle Children's Research Institute. In preparing an honors thesis at the University of Rhode Island, Christina E. Hatch asked children about their favorite video games.
She's not even a real anything yet. She's doing
this is
a
two
thesis.
People. This is two
I
different
know,
people.
But it's a thesis.
This is the lady who's talking about it. The other guy, the Greek, is the one who works for the Seattle Children's Research Institute. Stick to fucking coffee. a fourth grader cited Call of Duty Black Ops was his favorite video game because there's zombies in it and you get to kill them with guns. And there's violence. I like blood and violence. Now, here's
Wait,
I know
that's
why
what he said, or that
that's
was
a quote from a fourth grade age child. I don't know where from, what part of the world he lives in, or she. I don't know. It just says a fourth grader. But here's what I don't like about this is that this kid is being honest, right?
Yeah.
It's not a bad thing to be entertained by violence. It is not. There's no. Well, you laugh, but it's like Breaking Bad is a great show, but it's really fucking violent and sick and twisted.
Yes, it is.
I'm not done.
Okay, Jesus Christ.
So, well, take a fucking pen and write it down. Because it's not bad that a kid wants to see something violent. And this idea that it desensitizes them is absolute horseshit. Here's the thing. It doesn't make, because you are not sensitive to violence, right?
Yes.
Does not mean that you cannot be empathetic. Those two do not go hand in hand. There are people in this world who can watch somebody have a limb severed from their body and have the calm presence of mind to apply pressure to the wound and save a life, okay?
Okay, the fourth graders are doing that?
Yes, fourth graders are doing it. No, listen, don't fucking snipe in and shit on my point. Because it's not a real shit on my point. You'll get your chance to point.
No.
So here's my thing. So there are people who are wired that way. There are fourth graders who are wired that way.
Yes.
There are fourth graders who are wired differently and are more sensitive. Take, for example, okay?
Yes.
You take Jacob versus Jack. Two children that have been raised in the exact same house that are entirely two different people.
Yes.
One child, very aware that dad could go to the Huskow, very concerned. Second child could give a shit. When are we going to go back to blowing shit up?
Right. This podcast, by the way, could be the thing that sends him to the Huskow.
That's true.
Yeah.
But also, you take it and you flip it. During the fire. Last year, Jack lighting shit off the whole time.
Yeah.
This year, didn't feel like it. Felt like it was a little too scary, or you know what I mean?
I remember.
So didn't want to do that. So he just hangs back. They have different levels of what they can handle.
Back. He would run to a bunker.
Yeah.
He was retreating.
No, he was sitting. Well, he's sitting with his mom. It wasn't like, but anyway. Anyway. So this idea that violence makes that I feel like this is total horseshit. So I'm going to finish this and then I'll bring up the point that I made because I think that this is how they kind of push this.
Yes.
Teenagers who spend a lot of time playing violent video games or watching violent shows on television have been found to be more aggressive and more likely to fight with their peers and argue with their teachers, according to a study in the journal Youth of Adolescence. Two of my grandsons. See, all the people, in my opinion, all the people who are there getting to weigh in on this, are people of a generation that this is not part of their life set. So what we're really reacting to is that these are things that people don't know how to react to. My grandfather, before he passed away, I did a podcast with him. I put it out on a January month. I think it maybe was not this year, but so it would have been 2 years ago. So it should still be available if you're new to the show and want to go back and listen, because this is a man who is barely high school educated, was a farmer his entire life, a man of the earth, right? But not really aware of media theory, okay?
Yeah.
And when I asked him, what do you think about parents today? I thought he would say, they're pansies. They let their kids get away with too much. And his honest reaction was, I don't know how people do it. When I was a kid, I played with corn cobs until people needed to use them to wipe their ass in an outhouse.
Right.
And I never knew that I didn't have anything because the nearest neighbor was a mile away.
Yeah.
So you never had anything to compare it to. But because kids today are constantly bombarded with what they should have, what people think that they need, and how they need to be stimulated and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So that to me is he doesn't know how to deal with these new things that are in kids' worlds.
Yeah.
Where I'm going to have something. Something is going to change when my kids become teenagers that I'm going to be like, I'm not really sure how to deal with this because it's a thing I didn't grow up with. I don't have experience with it. So this guy says, two of my grandsons, ages 10 and 13, seem destined to suffer some of the negative side effects of video game overuse. The 10-year-old gets up half an hour earlier on school days to play computer games, and he and his brother stay plugged into their handheld devices on the side, on the ride to and from school. There's no conversation anymore, said their grandfather, who often picks them up. When the family dines out, the boys use their devices before the meal arrives and as soon as they finish eating. If the kids are allowed to play Candy Crush on the way to school, the car ride will be quiet. But that's not what kids need, Dr. Steiner Adair said in an interview. They need time to daydream, deal with anxieties, process their thoughts, and share.
Talk to the old man who's driving the car that they don't want to talk to anyway.
Who probably is only yelling, Steve, what the fuck do you need that phone for? Yeah, that sounds real great. Let's have a conversation with Grandpa about that. Share with their parents who can provide reassurance. See, and that's, here's the thing.
Yeah.
Playing games and the devices, in a way, are daydreaming. They are a way of dealing with anxieties. And so what this is that they're reacting because I think that their fear is that these people don't know how to connect with either their children, or their fear is that other people don't know how to connect to their own children. But then don't give me the bullshit. And maybe it's just we're putting this out there for the other people, and this isn't something that I'm supposed to look at and be affected by, because I feel like it's too general. That's what I don't like. I feel like it's saying, hey, you, and maybe I'm overreacting and saying that.
No, you couldn't be overreacting.
It's impossible, right? I'm overreacting in sense saying that maybe that's kind of what they're saying, but I'm not part of the people they're talking about. But only thing that I think that I am a part of is, like I said, my kids are in there playing Call of Duty, and my son has made the comment. He says, I like to kill things, you know, on the video game or whatever. Right. And we joke and we laugh. But see, like, to go back to that fourth grader, he is not saying that because he is a fucking future Dexter.
Right.
He's saying that because he said it and somebody reacted once. It got a little... Everybody knows that kids are all about fucking poking the bear in their parents from the time they're born until they fucking move out. And then another 10 years after that, I imagine. Oh, God.
If, related to what you just said.
Yes.
And in support of your your non-support of the article, when they say, oh, you know, we studied and these kids who do this are more likely to behave violently. Mm-hmm. were those same kids likely to behave violently before you tested them? Because you don't have before. You're comparing them to other kids who are currently not playing those games.
Right.
But you're not comparing them to themselves.
Which is the number I will show you in a minute.
Oh, okay.
Technology is a poor substitute for personal interaction. I agree wholeheartedly.
Yes.
I absolutely agree. But to say that technology is an enemy is bullshit. This article should be saying, here's like what that lady's book who made, she's the Protecting Childhood and Family Relationships in the Digital Age.
Yes.
That should be what these two fucking sheets of paper should be talking about. Not about how, ooh, technology bad. Don't be fucking afraid of something new, you pieces of shit. Out in public, Dr. Steiner Adair added, children have to know that life is fine off the screen. It's interesting and good to be curious about other people, to learn how to listen. It teaches them social and emotional intelligence, which is critical for success in life. Absolutely agree. And that's why moderation is the real point. And anyway, texting looms as the next. See, again, here's the next wave, everybody. Phase one of the tech is happening. We're already victims. It's over.
Yeah.
Skynet won, everybody. Now here comes the T-1000 that's liquid metal, and it's in the form of text messaging for your teenagers. Half of teenagers sending 50 or more text messages a day, and those aged 13 through 17 averaging 3,364 texts a month, Amanda Lenhart of the Pew Research Center found in a 2012 study. There can be physical consequences, too. Children can develop pain in their fingers. This is such fucking bullshit. And wrists, narrowed blood vessels in their eyes, the long-term consequences of which are unknown, and neck and back pain from being slumped over their phones, tablets, and computers.
Hang on a second. How could it be a consequence if the long-term effects are
unknown? Exactly my point.
Couldn't be negative, necessarily.
So now, tell me if I'm wrong, but I think the overall... I'm clipping out.
There is nobody here who's not afraid to tell you that you're wrong.
The overall thing that what they are saying is that the introduction of more and more violent video games leads to people being desensitized to and less empathetic to violence. Correct?
That is what they're saying.
Could I use the same flow of logic that they're saying that would say that then that would lead to an increase because we're so desensitized to it,
yes,
there would be an increase in violent crime. Yes, yes?
That is what they are implying.
Thank you.
I think so.
2003, Call of Duty sells 1.75 million items sold.
Yeah.
Okay? Cut to
Game units.
Okay. Call of Duty Ghosts, that is in 2013,
yeah.
16,500,000 units sold.
Wow.
All right?
You got to get in that business.
Now here, that is from StatisticBrain.com. This is from DisasterCenter.com, ironically enough.
Yeah.
This is the U.S. population.
Yes.
And then it also has reported violent crimes.
Yes.
During those times. So in 2003, the U.S. population was 290,690,788 people. Would you, Adam, say that murder is a violent crime?
When done correctly.
Right. 16,528 murders reported in 2003. Would you say rape is also a violent crime? I'm going to say yes. 93,883 reported cases of rape. Now, if we cut to 2013, the population has grown to 316,128,839. Take a guess.
Will this be on the final?
Yes.
Okay.
Take a guess on the number of murders in 2013. Let's see. Let's make it more fun. Let's extrapolate using their bullshit logic.
Okay.
What would you imagine if we went from 1.5 million copies sold to 16 million copies sold?
1.5 to 16. Okay.
Right?
I'm sorry, because this is now one of those times when I didn't realize I was going to have to prove I was paying attention. 1.5 to 16. I'm imagining it's 100% increase.
It is actually a decrease.
What?
14,196 murders in 2013.
Come on, people, pick it up.
Right? You half-ass losers.
Yes.
79,770 cases of rape in 2013.
See, if it had been an increase, even a mild one, I was going to go with, well, those people obviously finished 100% of the game.
And now they're trying to move on.
They sold millions of units, but not everybody played them.
So if anyone, but if you wanted
decrease,
to use...
I can't figure out.
In my opinion, if you want to use the same bullshit logic that these video games are actually helping keeping these people indoors and keeping them from harming other people who are just paying taxes and living their lives and hugging and loving on their children.
Yes.
That is my point.
All right.
Now you can say
No. I'm going to say, listen, you said you're going to use their own bullshit logic and now I'm going to speak as them. I am speaking as them. Long-term effects are not yet known. Boom, drop my mic. Boom.
Give me the number for long term. What's a number for long term?
We don't know.
Because in a technological age, 12 years is a fucking long time.
Well, no. We still don't know for sure.
Yes, we do. Because here's the thing. I even looked. So let's say we'll go back. Let's go back. When did... here we go. I'm trying to think of when the first violent video game would have happened. I know of one in the mid-90s that was called Manhunt. It was the most violent game I've ever played.
Yeah.
You actually would take... I guess Mortal Kombat would probably be the first one that I remember being a big deal. But you would have a bat with a nail in it, and you were an escaped convict who was sentenced for death row, and you had to escape through multiple gangs of prisoners.
So you already killed people, and you had no future.
Now you had the only way to do it was to kill people so you could survive.
Yes.
And it was all being broadcast on television. So go mid-90s. 23,000 murders in the mid-90s. There is no spike. There is a spike. So in 1983, there were about 18,000 or 19,000 murders. It jumps up to 24,000 in 1993 and then slowly, slowly, slowly starts falling from there. So that to me is long-term effects. Long-term.
I'm exhausted.
All right, good. Well, then we'll lighten it up with this.
I did have some things I needed to say.
You said you're exhausted.
I am exhausted, but it doesn't mean I'm ready to just completely leave everything on the table. Although this won't be the entertaining part for anyone.
That's fine.
No, first of all, how am I even going to be able to remember what I wanted to say?
You need to bring a pad and a pen. This laptop. Weirdly enough, you are not screen addicted enough.
No.
You can write notes down here.
Yes. That's true. I could be rattling off notes. Somehow I feel like, whatever. One comment that you made, this is only anecdotal evidence to the contrary.
Mm-hmm.
You said that anyone listening to this podcast wouldn't have that problem with screen-addicted children because the very fact that they listen to this podcast by default makes them good parents, and good parents wouldn't be in this trouble.
I agree with that, Sam.
But you agree with it. And you say, to be fair, you said anyone who listens to this podcast. You didn't cite anyone who participates in this podcast. But right now I have a son who's in a very sad place. And he's in the living room playing video games instead of dealing with his feelings. And then in the room next to him is the reason he's very sad. And the other brother, who is nocturnal because he plays video games all night. So... someone sitting in this room who participates in this podcast is in the actual situation.
But you listen to it in a different way, in my defense.
Well, I don't even listen. This is obvious after the last few minutes.
I don't know to what level you're comfortable going into it, but for the sake of conversation, I think that there is a difference here that I don't think, in my opinion.
Yes.
And again, we're all looking forward to when I have teenagers, and this becomes a real problem for me. But that I think... that the screen addiction is not the cause. I don't think it's because your kids played Call of Duty when they're 9 or 10. You see what I'm saying? Because I feel like that's what they are saying. What they're saying is the fact that you and sitting in an Outback
what
give your
doing,
kid a phone to watch A Bug's Life is the reason why your kid's going to grow up and be unhappy and disconnected.
Dexter.
Right.
No, they are.
And what I'm saying is that if that happens and you don't stop it. Like, if you don't create some level of moderation, then yes.
Okay. What they're doing is, and this isn't scientists writing this. This is just some asshole.
Yeah, somebody who it's a New York Times blogger who is taking what scientists said and putting it in.
Okay. Article. So, but here's the thing is that none of it is as A, B, C, D, the first domino falls doesn't mean it leads to the last domino. There's way too many variables involved in everybody's everything.
Right.
And they're making it seem as though there's a direct line that if this happens, then that happens, and then there is no other conclusion than X. And I don't believe that is
true. I agree wholeheartedly with what Jessica just said in the chat room, is that it is not the screen addiction, it is the addiction of disconnected parents. That's what it is. If you, as parents, are disconnected and not involved in what's going on, then it becomes a problem.
I have to refrain from responding to that comment.
You don't
I
like
feel
Jessica?
Like no, because I feel... she's so full
She
of
pisses
shit.
Me off a lot.
Well, listen.
I'm glad we brought this up now.
I'm not going to argue that disconnected...
Jessica, go fuck yourself.
You're
fucking
banned.
Points.
No, we can't afford to ban
anybody. Go to party with the mess pelts.
No.
You and your love for chapstick. Don't think I forgot yesterday.
I can't not count myself among the disconnected parents, and I feel that I am in some of this situation right now. So,
all right. Well, for another day.
Yeah, no, we don't have to go. Didn't open up that can of worms, believe me. there's not a lot of comedy there. But that is, interestingly enough, that article does speak to stuff from which I'm familiar. And there were many things you said in the course of time, but I can't go back. I should have made notes. My apologies to everybody.
It's because my logic is so sound, is what I'm thinking.
I wasn't necessarily going to argue with you. In some cases, I was going to
support
or just add to this idea that...
I think there's always going to be the thing. Jacob and Jack are going to, and everybody who's listening, that our kids are going to have to deal with a different thing that is this looming demon of, it's the same argument that it's like, really, we're going to get up on a soapbox about, now I'm going to ask everybody to remove the spiritual element, because I know that there are religious reasons to this that I completely understand, but we're going to get up on a soapbox about the civil rights of people who want to get married and are homosexual. Even not that they're the same, but you understand. But it's like, I feel like there should be a lesson learned. That's like, hey, this isn't fair technically.
Yeah.
And you got to be able to look at the past and go, let's see how this is going to go.
Yeah.
And then it's like, but what's interesting that's happening now on that same topic is that now polygamists are going, well, okay, we're going to get in line then right behind the gays, right? And everybody's like, whoa, 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 whoa. It's like, well, how do you think that's going to go, dipshit? And sure, yeah, people are going to be marrying bottlenose dolphins. It's eventually going to happen, but we have to accept.
No, and even before we weren't going to go down this road, but even before people start marrying bottlenose dolphins or polygamy, which you're right about polygamy, absolutely right about polygamy, and I don't see that, it doesn't matter. Before that happens, we're going to get into the transgendered, because that's so popular now.
Yeah, well, I think that's already okay.
Wait a minute, Oh, is it? I didn't know. Okay. Yeah.
If you get, well, here's the thing. If you could get married when you were a man or a woman, and you can marry a man or a woman.
Because a transgender doesn't necessarily, I could be a
please compare yourself to a woman right now.
Yes. Okay. Well, listen, it's hard for me to decide which one I'm supposed to be. But let's say I feel like I'm a man, a woman trapped inside a body's man, and I want to change my body and become a woman.
Uh-huh.
But I was not a gay man.
Right.
I was a heterosexual man, and now, I'm sorry, I got that wrong. Yes, I was a heterosexual man. My desire was for women.
Either way, it works.
No, it doesn't, because now I am a woman, but I want to be with a woman still, right. And so now it's a gay marriage.
Yeah, so it's fine.
No, but I'm saying... Oh, I see.
Whether you're defined as a man beforehand, you're fine. It fixes both. They were the second bird with that stone.
Right.
They rode the coattails of the lesbians and the gay guys.
Oh, my God. That's funny. Or the petticoat tails. Now, that is a very good joke, and I want a lot of respect for everyone. Get on the internet.
All right. Here's a story that I think is going to make you very, very happy, Adam. And Ashton sent this to you as if it were a birthday present.
Oh, my goodness.
It was a little late, but I want to cover this, and I think it's much lighter than what we were just talking about, and we'll close with this the science of why we talk too much and how to shut up.
Oh,
this is another thing I have a lot of issue with. You probably talk too much, and there's a good reason for that. Oh, science says that humans
science
being social,
again.
Yep, social animals are programmed to use communication as a vital tool to survive and thrive. I'm surviving and thriving.
Yes.
This wouldn't be a problem, except for the fact that science also tells us that our favorite subject to discuss is ourselves. People spend 60% of their conversations talking about themselves, 80% when chatting on social media.
That number goes way down, by the way, when a person is talking to you.
Yes, exactly. I am. As I recently learned. It probably is much higher, but yes. I am the bell curve in much way you were. Yeah. the reason researchers found was that it just feels good, so much so that Harvard psychologists discovered that individuals were willing to give up money for the opportunity to disclose information about themselves. This read by a guy who built an $8,000 studio in his backyard.
For four people to hear him
the
talk.
The ideal conversation should be a total give and take. I don't see how that makes sense. It gets boring. With each person speaking about 50% of the time. That means staying quiet half the time. A tough... Thanks for breaking that down. I talk a lot. I'm not stupid. But influential tool for business, as Peter Bregman notes in Harvard. They go to Harvard. That means I get to explain why 50% is the same as half. Silence is a greatly underestimated source of power. In silence, we can hear not only what is being said, but also what is not being said. In silence, it can be easier to reach the truth. Well, not when you're fucking dealing with an audio medium, Jack Whistle, and not when people think you have interesting things to say. I think this is really for boring people. That's what I've decided. To ensure you're giving your conversation partner equal time, Paco, and learning as much as you can.
Let me read it to yourself.
You're Mark Goulston, a business psych. Well, I'm saying you're my conversation partner. Mark Goulston says that it's important to pay attention to three stages of speaking to other people.
Yes.
Number one, the business stage.
The yelling stage.
Yes. The ramping
stage.
I don't start yelling. I mean, I speak loudly, then I ramp up to yelling, and then I denouement to to a calm.
To wait your turn. Then there's the wait your turn section.
Hump your friends. Stay frosty, everyone. Yeah. I feel better. The business stage. This I'm not very good at. On task, relevant, and concise. Ugh, concise is a scary word for me. The feel-good stage. Oh, feels good. So wonderful intention relieving for you. You don't even notice the other person is not listening.
Yeah, he was feeling so good during that rant. I needed a paper towel to clean up.
Well, did you hear what I just
said? What? I wasn't listening.
This is so perfect. I hope you said that as a joke, because this is what I said. The feel-good stage, so wonderful, intention-relieving for you, you don't even notice the other person is not listening.
Well, exactly. Exactly. I didn't even say it as a joke. I was...
The off-track attempt, this is stage three. The off-track attempt to recover stage. Rather than re-engaging by listening, the usual impulse is to talk even more in an effort to regain their interest. See the aforementioned Harvard research results.
See the aforementioned rant?
Yeah. NIMCO
offered... Oh, my God, that's...
Shh.
I only wish that was a joke. I only wish you were joking.
That was a joke. Well, I got lightheaded on that laugh. That was a good one. NEMCO offered the following traffic light strategy to rein in the chatter. So maybe we can incorporate this into our relationship here on the show. You get a green light during the first 20 seconds. Your listener is liking you as long as your statement is relevant to the conversation and hopefully in service of the other person. Yellow light for the next 20 seconds. Now the risk is increasing that the other person is beginning to lose interest or think you're long-winded. I don't see... We don't have a yellow light. We have some kind of weird European traffic system in our relationship, I think you and I. At the 40-second mark, your light is red. Yes, there's an occasional time you want to run that red light and keep talking, but the vast majority of the time, you'd better stop or you're in danger. Now, let's break that down. So I am supposed to only talk 40 seconds at a time? That's no bueno. I spent a lot of money for nothing then. One reason may be that you're trying to impress your conversation partner, huh? Especially if you aren't all that confident on the inside.
Oh.
Yeah, exactly. Some people babble out of nerves, attempting to self-soothe while chattering. You know why? Didn't have a little screen when I was a kid to learn self. You know, I just was talking. There was no Game Boys when I was that little.
Yes.
Still others never have never been taught the fine art of asking the right questions that will draw the other person out and then staying quiet while they answer. As Bregman says, we all know how to be silent. The question is, can we withstand the pressure to speak? Who are these fucking douche whistles? For those who need to help need help to keep quiet, Bregman recommends treating it as a competition.
Don't.
If you answer your own question, you've lost. I would like to, this is where if we had
that
a producer,
funny.
I could be able to say, go through the backlogs and find at least 8 moments where I've said, Adam, what do you think of la-di-da-di-da? Because this is what I think.
I think you could find 8 moments in that rant where someone tried to chime in.
If you answer your own question, you've lost. You'll be answering your own questions all day, and no one else will do the work. That sounds awesome. But wait in the silence no matter how long until someone in the group speaks, and they will then continue to do the work necessary to lead themselves. So excellent. There you go. I'm going to try to shut up more and be a better person and not be so insecure.
Did you intentionally put, I mean, the marriage of that, by the way, was 2 pages long.
Yeah.
You know how long the thing was that set you off before? 2 pages. You did 72 minutes on the first 2 pages. And
wrap it up.
And then the one that was like, don't talk too much. That was...
I don't know. It's just kind of filler. I don't care. Oh, man. All right. Well, that was our show. You can send us an email to show@thedadpodcast.com. Oh, big news. Some of you may have heard this. I put it at the beginning of an episode, but we haven't talked about it live. And I know that Paco already knows about this. But our fantastic Butcher Drew.
All right.
Took the time to make a Dad Podcast Facebook fan group.
Oh, yeah.
So he goes there and he posts like questions where you guys can all talk about the show. Be careful, though. Don't talk too much.
Yeah. And when he poses his questions, he doesn't really want an answer from you.
Exactly.
He just wants to keep going on.
He's opening up the silence for you to fill it with your own information 40 seconds at a time. 40 fucking seconds. How am I supposed to do an hour show talking 40 seconds? Anyway, I'm not really mad about this, by the way. As if that needed to be clarified.
I am, by the way.
So yeah, check that out. There's a link to it on the Facebook page at dadpodcast.com. But I think if it's called Staying Frosty with the Dad Podcast fan page.
I think
is
it
the
is
name
too.
Group.
And if you know, I know only certain people listening live, and we've talked about listening to the live stream. We've talked about being in the chat room and how much that adds to the show and how much it's kind of like the show outside the show in a way. And I think the fan page does that too, is that it keeps the conversation going. In some ways, Luna likes the fan page almost more than the actual podcast because she doesn't have to listen to me. So it's a highly entertaining and in a very interesting way. And it's also like the kids playing when the parents aren't there.
Right.
The nature of the game changes.
That's what I think. And I think it was really nice of Drew to take the time to put this together, is that what I think it is for those of you who can't be available when we record at 10 a.m. Pacific time.
Yeah.
Then it's a way that you can also interact with other like-minded people who also like the show.
And absolutely.
I think he's doing a really nice job, and I'm very touched. I think it's a very sweet thing that I never would have saw happening.
Yeah.
So thank you guys very
much. And when his fan page exceeds the number of likes that our main page does, that will be a very sorry day for, for us.
Well, that's interesting.
If you got to 1,000.
What if, what if it was like, but they were only there to hear, like, I like the, it's weird. That is a weird, like.
They care about the show. They just like
that is a weird Inception meta level of like, I don't really like the show, but I like to interact with the guy talking about the show. Oh, my gosh. So check out the description of this episode to find out all of our social media handles. We're on Twitter, Facebook, all this stuff. If you ever want to chat with me, send me a tweet. I usually respond to all of them. Maybe not that given minute. But
all at once, as
I'm pretty good.
Fact.
Yeah.
I do capital
wanna,
letters.
If it helps you to know when you're getting a tweet back from me, it's usually when I'm dropping a deuce. You're welcome. And if you want to see pictures taken during the show, you can check out Paco's Instagram, call_of_Dooley. Also, the spelling of that is in this episode. I will be doing another solo episode, possibly. Here's the thing. I'm supposed to do one tomorrow. It might have to be done early in the morning because tomorrow is my 14th anniversary with my lovely bride.
Up top.
Yeah. And so we are taking the kids and going to the beach is what I've been informed that I'm doing for my anniversary.
Play that wah, wah, wah.
Oh, yeah, exactly. This is more. There you go. No, it'll be fun. It'll be fun watching the kids and then trying to clean all the sand off them before it gets all over the fucking minivan. It's going to be great. No, I love it. It's going to be great.
And
I love
listen, all kidding it from earlier aside, kudos for yesterday and keep it going.
I'm
going
to try.
Yeah.
So there's that. And check out Justin is Married, Booker is Single. Please tell three people about the show, blah, blah, blah. Now Paco is going to tell you about our fantastic Amazon bookmark banner thing.
Hey there, boys and girls. I have a special story to tell to you today. Once upon a time, somebody who was not very supportive but could have been doing better went to the Dad Podcast webpage and scrolled down to the bottom, and there they found an Amazon banner. And when they clicked on it, it took them into the wonderful world of Amazon. And they saw many beautiful, wonderful things that they wanted to acquire, and so they did acquire them. And they bookmarked that site, and they came back and had many more happy times. And every time they did that, it cost them nothing extra, but it meant the world to the two men they've been listening to for the last hour and 17 minutes. So do it.
Thank you so much, Barney Kane. On behalf of myself, Justin Worsham, and Paco Lancini, a.k.a. Adam Dooley, I am saying again, because I forgot the way I closed the show, evidently, hug your kids, hump your loved ones, and stay frosty, everyone. Goodbye.